You're listening to a podcast from Victory. Marriage is a covenant that God honors and blesses. No more in week 7 of 10.
Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, I'm really happy to be able to preach the word to you this afternoon. In this series 10, we're actually talking about the Ten Commandments and let me just do a recap for you. No, first week po natin, pinag-usapan natin that we are not to have any other gods. Okay? So, sa Tagalog po, bawal ang extra Diyos. Okay? So, yun po ibig sabihin nun. Okay? So, nung second week, pinag-usapan natin, we are not to bow down to any idol. So, we are not to worship any formed image or kahit pa hindi image yan. So, other than God Himself. We also said that we are not to use God's name in vain. Okay, so whether it's by really verbalizing it or by representing it through our lifestyle, we are not to use His name in vain. And then in the first week, we say that we are to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So sana po, nagsasabbat na po tayo, pinapractice na natin to. On the fifth week, we said that we are to honor our parents, our father and our mother. Okay, and then nung last week, pinag-usapan po natin that we are not to murder. Okay, we shall not murder. So, yung mga susunod pa pong weeks, ito pong itsura niyan. Okay, so susunod natin, pag-usapan natin ngayon is that we are not to commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness, or you shall not, and you shall not steal, and you shall not covet. And I want you to have a picture of this Ten Commandments, okay? The first four actually talks about the relationship that we have with God. Okay? And then the latter six is actually pertaining to our relationship with other people. So now for today, ang pag-uusapan po natin has something to do with other people, and that's exactly yung commandment number 7. Okay? So ready na po ba kayo? Okay, let me start this preaching by telling you a story. Once, pumunta po kami sa Bulacan ng wife ko. So it's really a value for us ng wife ko to really be there for our family. So once in a while, we would go to Bulacan to visit her lola. Okay, and one time on our way there, I was apprehended by the MMDA, okay, at the NLEX toll gate. Apparently, pagdating ko pala doon, busted na po, or should I say, not working na yung isa sa headlights ko. So bulag po yung ilaw ko during that night. And true enough, I was apprehended, natiketan ako, so I was asked to fix the light. And what I realized there is that all along pala, when I was driving from my home to the toll gate sa NLEX, I was driving without knowing that I was violating a law of the land, the traffic rules. I was not aware. What happened there was I was driving not knowing that because of the trouble, because of the issue of my car, it can potentially hurt me or other people around me. Okay? So yun yung happened. Buti na lang, inapprehend po ako ng MMDA. And because of that, nothing bad happened. Natiketan lang po ako, pero no one was hurt. No one I did not cause any accident. Now, I'm saying all that because could it be possible that in our lives, we are driving our lives in such a way and we are not aware that we are actually violating a law that God has declared in this life? Could it be possible that in that violation that we may have in God's law, since we're not aware of it, we're continuing with our life, with our usual practices, and we're not even conscious that violation could actually hurt yourself or probably the loved ones that we have around us? Could it be possible that the very violation that we have in this law of God is the commandment number 7 that tells us we shall not commit adultery? Let's find out. Yun yung gusto nating alamin tonight. And my prayer and my hope is that if we are guilty of such violation, that God would apprehend our hearts and allow us to recover and give us the chance to fix it so that we could live a good life. Okay po ba? So can we all stand as we read God's word and find out if we are guilty or not, or if we need a recovering from this? Okay, the Bible says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3, and then can we read together in verse 14? It says there, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your scripture. I pray, God, that you would allow us, God, to understand your commandment. And I thank you, Lord, for more than a command, we would see, Lord God, a declaration of love that you have for all of us. This we declare in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. We're going to talk about, sabi ko nga kanina, we're going to talk about adultery. But let me first define to you certain terms that I would mention every now and then within the preaching of the word for this afternoon. Okay? Pag-usapan po na, let me first define marriage, sex, and adultery. Okay? Pag pinag-usapan natin yung marriage, we have to first understand that marriage is a blessing from God. The Bible says that he who finds a wife finds what is good, finds favor. That means when you get into marriage, there's a blessing that comes to you. Sino ba sa inyo mga married and you just know you're very blessed? Married people in the house. Yeah, no, yung iba, sabi nyo, tumaas ka ng kamay, tumaas ka. Pinilit. Sino mga single, gusto nyo maging married someday? Okay. Okay, woohoo! Tapos yung iba, woohoo! Tapos nakatingin sa katabi, woohoo! Okay, so, mag-propose ka na. Parang gano'n lang gusto sabihin eh. Okay, so, I want you to know, God designed marriage to be a blessing. Okay? And when marriage comes, it is meant to be a covenant between God, you, and your spouse. Okay? So, may tatlo na involved. Okay? Hindi lang kayong dalawa. In fact, few months ago, I nag-officiate po ako ng marriage and I would tell them that in marriage, there's three strands. Okay? A three strands that binds the marriage and it's not meant to be quickly broken. Those three strands represents the husband, the wife, and God. Okay? Para mag-work po yun, kailangan kasama si God sa picture. That's why it is a covenant. Marriage is not just a contract, it's not just an agreement, it's a covenant because God is involved. Okay? Now, in marriage, God wants to accomplish certain purposes. Okay? May gusto siyang mangyari. And this is another preaching for you, but I'm gonna run through it. Okay? So, ano yung mga gusto niya ma-accomplish sa marriage? Okay? Una, procreation. That's why it's between a man and a woman. Okay? Kasi gusto niya mag-procreate. And at the same time, he wants to produce offsprings or people who would follow him as well in marriage. Okay? Also, pleasure. Pleasure for the couple because there's fun and pleasure in marriage. Diba sa'yo, masaya kayo sa marriage nyo? Wala na nagtaas. Okay? So, sige, konti na lang. Okay? So, but God designed it to really provide pleasure and not just for the couple but also for God because God is filled with pleasure when He see people coming together. Okay? And also, not only pleasure, permanent union. Kaya po, sa marriage, as far as God's design is concerned, my forever. Okay? So, yung walang forever, my forever po, para kay God. So, that's God's design. And all those purposes are meant to be accomplished within the bounds of marriage. Lahat po yun mangyayari within the bounds of marriage. And I want you to know that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is the natural order when it comes to marriage. A man and a woman will leave their parents and then hold fast to his, sabi, his wife na po, hindi po to hold to his fiance, to his girlfriend, to his future wife. Wife, yung sabihin, may marriage mo muna ng nangyayari. And then after the marriage happens, next thing happens there, sabi doon, and they will become one flesh. Saka lang po papasok yung sex sa picture. Sex is actually a vital part of marriage. Marriage is not about sex, but sex is a major component in marriage. Because also, sex is one of the ways that God allows His purposes to be accomplished within marriage. Now, since God designed sex to be within the bounds of marriage, ibig sabihin, you're married to that person that you're having sex with, if you take sex outside the bounds of marriage, what happens? It becomes adultery. Therefore, this is how we define adultery. Adultery is physical intimacy between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. Malinaw po ba? Now, many people are saying that adultery is quite common nowadays. And people will have varied reasons why they're getting into adultery. Some people would say that they're into adultery because they feel like they married the wrong person. Parang grabe, hindi naman siya yung pinakasalan ko. Nung nililigawan niya ako, sobrang bait. Sobrang mabango. Diba, nung asawa ko na, parang hindi na ako makahinga. Parang gano'n. So, I married the wrong person. So, nagbabago ka. So, gusto mo na magpalit. So, ito kasi mabango. Ito kasi, okay, mabait. Nililigawan pa rin ako. Diba, some people would say, my needs are not being met. Within, I thought, some needs or some expectations would be met within this marriage. But now I found myself in a marriage, it's not being met, might as well get it somewhere else. Some people would say, because we're not sexually compatible. Parang there are certain sexual expectations or fulfillment that is not being met. So sige, adulterous affair na lang tayo. Let's find it to someone else. Some people would say, my spouse is always tired. Pagdating pa lang sa bahay, pagod na. Kumakatok nga, pagbukas kong pinto, gumagapang na yung ano ko eh. Sobrang pagod na yung asawa ko. So, paano ba yan? Diba? Some people would say, my spouse is unfaithful. Siya nga yung nangangaliwa eh. Siya nga yung merong ibang babae, ibang lalaki. Siya naman yung nauna eh. So, pag ginawa ko to, quits lang. Diba? Some people would say that these are the common reasons why people are giving into adultery. But the Bible is very clear. The Bible is saying to us, you shall not commit adultery. You are not to give in to this. Even if the rest of the world, the rest of the TV shows that we have are promoting this, maybe, di ba, mga Desperate Housewives, Sex in the City, ano pa yung mga uso ngayon? My husband's lover, my neighbor's wife. Sari-sari po. And in these setups, it seems like adultery always has a seemingly good reason. But the Bible is very clear. We are not to commit adultery. In fact, the Bible would describe adulterers like this. He said, he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Sabi nun, walang sense. If you're into adultery, walang sense. Naranasan nyo na ba yung ano, yung may nagsabi sa inyo, pare, huwag ka maingay. Bakit? May naglalaba. Parang walang ka-sense, walang ka-connect-connect. Parang, you're not thinking right. There's no logic in what you're saying. And the Bible is saying here, if you're someone who's committing adultery, if you're someone who's doing this, there's no sense in what you're doing. Walang logic. Bakit mo ginagawa? Kalokohan. And it's also saying there, hindi lang malaking kalokohan, it's also something that gonna destroy yourself. Why? Bakit kaya ganun na lang yung description ng Bible when it comes to adultery? Why? First reason. Because adultery destroys God's design for marriage and sex. The Bible says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. Okay? For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. God is so hateful. God is wrathful towards those who are committing adultery. Ayaw niya nung sin na yon. Okay? As much as He loves His people, even though they're sinners, God hates this sin so much. Okay? Why is that? Because it destroys the purpose and the design that God has placed upon marriage, even sex. Kanina sinabi ko, di ba, pinag-usapan natin procreation. And when you talk about procreation, it's not just about producing offsprings. It's about producing people who would follow God as well. And to tell you the truth, I've ministered to a lot of young people already who are struggling with their walk with God, struggling following God because of the adulterous experience that they had in their family. Probably they're sons or daughters of someone who committed adultery. Yung parents nila, adulterous. They would say, bakit kaya ganun? Bakit kaya siguro, I'm not that special. Hindi ako mahal ng magulang ko kasi ginawa niya yun. And bakit hinayaan ni Lord na yung magulang ko hindi ako mahal? Kasi nangyari yun. For some, on the other side naman, maybe the child is born because of an adulterous affair and he would say, hindi ko maintindihan kung bakit hinayaan ni God yun. May purpose ba talaga ako sa bundong to? Was I accidental lang ba akong nabuhay sa mundong to kaya nandito ako? Is there really such thing as a God of purpose? You see, when God designed marriage, He designed it to produce offsprings who are going to be followers of God as well. But when we destroy marriage, the design of marriage because of adultery, we also produce offsprings that are struggling when it comes to their walk with God. Is it making sense to you? And not only that, the Bible says, marriage is meant to produce pleasure. Pero, the pleasure that a husband and a wife could have within marriage diminishes if one is involved in adultery. When I was young, my mom would usually buy me KFC, yung Kanto Fried Chicken. Okay, so bibili lang sa Kanto, yung nanay ko, sabi, anak, eto, kain ka na ng tanghalian. And I enjoy it so much kasi, but you have to understand, I'm living in the province, I'm living in the barrio, so yun lang talaga yung malapit na bilihan ng manok na prito na. Then came college and I get to visit different restaurants like KFC, Jollibee, Max's, and I got to taste different kinds of chicken. So, sarap. Dami ko nakakain. Guess what? Nung bumalik ako after that experience sa bahay namin, nung hinainan ako ng nanay ko ng KFC, Kanto Fried Chicken, it did not taste as good as before. Why? Because I tasted something. In my mind, there's an option already. See, that is like sex. When you experience something outside the bounds of marriage, when you're already experiencing it with your wife, with your husband, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't give you the same pleasure that it's supposed to give you, ending up destroying the design that God has. It destroys God's design for marriage and sex. And not only that, it also destroys God's intention of permanence in that relationship. Can you imagine being betrayed by someone? Diba parang the trust is already broken, there's betrayal, and yung insecurities ng bawat isa, na-fuel, parang siguro ang pangit ko talaga kaya ayaw niya sa akin. Siguro feeling ko hindi talaga ako mapagkakatiwalaan kaya niya ginawa yun. Na-fuel yung insecurity, and because of that, nagkakaroon ng rift dun sa relationship, ending the relationship itself. Minsan mag-asawa pa rin sila pero sira na. Why? Because there was adultery that destroyed the marriage. That is why God is so hateful towards adultery. Ayaw niya to. Kasi sinisira nito yung plano niya. Sinisira nito yung design ni God when it comes to marriage and sex. Not only that, adultery is unfaithfulness to your covenant with God. As I've said, it did not just involve you and your wife or you and your husband. It involved God as well. So every time there's adultery happening, you're breaking your promise to God. Remember, in a marriage, sino ba sa'yo nakatinda kayo ng marriage? Diba? I'm sure yung iba sa'yo nung umatin kayo, nagde-daydream kayo, ay, ako rin, someday. Yung iba sa'yo, ngayon pa lang, gawa nyo na yung wedding vows nyo. Okay, so, on the wedding day, you're giving your vows to your spouse, your groom or to your bride. And those are promises. But guess what? When you're giving that, you're not just giving it to that person, you're also giving it to God. But every time you commit into adultery, you give into adultery, you're breaking that promise. It's like saying, Lord, it feels like in this marriage, you're not doing your part. You're not fulfilling your part of the promise that you'll make us happy ever after. Parang ganun. So I will find my happiness elsewhere. I'll do it my way. But we have to understand that God is always there. Maybe you feel like, did I really marry the wrong person? You know what? You married the right person because God allowed it to happen. You just have to trust God. We just have to trust God that God is in control. That whatever mess your marriage is encountering, whatever mess your relationship is going through, God can fix it. And maybe for some of you here, you're a single and you're thinking, naku, hindi naman po. Eh, kailangan ko po ba tandaan talaga yun? Hindi pa naman po ako married. Single pa nga ako. In fact, studyante pa nga lang po ako. Tapos feeling ko matatagalan pa yan kasi extended ako sa college. So parang gano'n. So parang feeling ko, kailangan ko ba tandaan yan? You have to understand, when the Ten Commandments was given to the Israelites, hindi niya sinabi ni Moses na, okay, for the seventh commandment, for married people only. No, walang sinabi gano'n. Okay, singles, okay, cover your ears. We're gonna talk about adultery. It's for all. Because at one point in our lives, we would cross that path that we would encounter someone getting married to us. And I'm sure for most of us, we want that to happen. We want to get married. And there's an enemy whose plan is to destroy that. So if we are wise, we would prepare as early as now. So that when that time comes, we are ready. And we will not mess up our marriage and God's plan in our lives. When we commit to adultery, we are breaking our covenant with God. But the good news is, God is still faithful to us. No matter how unfaithful we are towards Him, He will remain faithful to us. And you have to understand, when we're talking about adultery, hindi yan full-blown adultery overnight. It starts in small beginnings. Diba? Parang Milo ba yun? Diba? It starts in small beginnings. Okay? And how does it start? It starts with the word lust. Adultery begins with lust. Adultery begins with lust. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. This was Jesus speaking to his disciples, okay? But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman or a man with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay? Sabihin, inimagine mo pa lang, tiningnan mo pa lang, adultery na. God is saying, there is more to it than just by putting actions to what is in the heart. Another man, a famous author, said it this way. He rephrased it, and this is what he said. He said, if you look upon ham and eggs and lust, you have already committed breakfast in your hearts. Parang ganun lang yun. God is saying, lust is a serious thing. Because even though you're not committing adultery, even though you're not yet married, but if you are looking at a woman or a man lustfully, there's already that judgment, there's already that sinful nature inside of you. There's immorality inside of you already. Lust is defined like this: excessive desire for something or someone. Okay? And this is something that we need to arrest. This is something that we need to ask God, Lord, reveal to me. Is there lust in my heart right now? Because adultery begins with lust. The question is, when was the last time you looked at someone lustfully? That someone may be someone that you know, kilala mo by name. That someone may be someone that you don't know. Nakita mo lang sa TV, nakita mo lang sa magazine, nakita mo lang sa internet. When was the last time? Because that last time is bringing you closer to that adulterous heart that God is trying to destroy. And maybe for some of you, you're saying, eh, Pastor, ano namang gagawin ko eh? Kasi kung magdamit naman siya, para namang masisisi mo ba ako eh? Pag nakita ko siya, kung magdamit, kung yung v-neck niya hanggang pusod. Yung skirt niya parang belt. Di ba? Parang, pag nagsuot naman siya ng damit, hapit na hapit. Di ba? Kita mo yung date sa sobrang bakat. Di ba? Parang, eh, mapipigilan ko ba? Eh, ganun siya magdamit? I want you to know that what God is trying to address here is primarily our hearts. Yes, God would also address those people, but it starts with you. So if you're that person, ikaw yung nakakita nun, then don't go for the second look. Sabi nila, when I was young, sabi nila, the second look daw is the lustful look. So yung parang, alam ba, nakakita, kung rito, may nakita ko na lustful. Bounce mo na agad, kasi the second look daw is the lustful look. Eh, may mga nangamit ako, pilosopo, sabi, eh di, wag nang paabutin sa second. Pag tingin ganun, diretso na. Ano, sabi ko, yari tayo dyan. Yung isa naman, sabi, practice, ang advice daw dito, practice the bouncing eyes. Sabi, pag nakakita ka ng lustful, bounce mo na agad yung mata mo. Bounce mo na agad. Eh, di bouncing eyes, sabi, labo, di ba? Para, what God is saying here, is to make a covenant with your eyes. Commit yourself not to look at a woman lustfully. Commit it that in your conviction, whenever it comes your way, whether it's someone na nakasalubong mo, whether it's a pop-up in the internet, lumabas lang biglaan habang naglalaro ka or nag-i-internet ka, make a commitment that, Lord, I would not look at this. I will make a decision. If I have to close this window in the computer, if I have to go a different way, I will do it. That's the commitment. Because you don't want to mess with lust. Okay? Sabihin mo dyan sa lust na to. Okay? Wadi na uulit. And for all of us, my advice to you is dress appropriately. For the women, if the men are struggling with the physical attributes of a woman, so dress appropriately. Itago mo yung mga dapat itago. Okay, wag mo nang hayaan na maging stumbling block ka pa sa ibang tao. And ayaw mo rin na ikaw may masamang tingin sa'yo. And also for the men, dress appropriately, hindi lang to for the women. Okay, sometimes we think that it's only the men who are struggling physically towards the women. Women are struggling as well towards men. So dress appropriately. Okay? Last, most of the time, whispers in our ears, in our minds, say, okay lang yan. Ngayon na, huwag mo nang hintayin yung timing ni Lord. God would understand. Magrepent ka na lang later. And usually, how does it manifest? The obvious is adultery. But nowadays, it manifests itself in different ways. For the singles, probably, it's in premarital sex. For some people, it's probably through pornography. For some people, it's voyeurism, paninilip, fantasizing, masturbation. Those are things that are welling up out of lust. And maybe you are here right now and you're feeling awkward already. But that's the reality. Those are manifestations. Those are clear para indications that there's already lust in your hearts. The question now is, if I have that in my heart, even though I'm not willing to admit it, how do I deal with it? The Bible says in the book of Matthew, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown in hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Bible saying, cut it off. Okay, putulin mo na. If it is that relationship that is causing you to sin, cut it off. If it's that internet that's causing you to sin, cut it off. It's probably that habit of yours that's causing you to sin, cut it off. For the married people here, di ba? If you are married right now and you're still privately texting your ex, you don't have business doing that, cut it off. Diba? If you're someone here and you find yourself being isolated with someone with the opposite sex, you know what? It's not wise. Cut it off. You know why? Because those things are immoral situations. I'm not saying that you're committing immorality. But immoral situations are situations where you can find yourself in compromise. Remember the story of Joseph, the dreamer in the Bible? Yung tumira sa bahay ni Potiphar? Na-meet niya si Potiphar's wife? Diba? Imagine every day, sabi sa Bible, this wife would tempt Joseph day and night. She would tempt him and say, matulog, let's sleep together. Diba? Imagine ko yung haba nung kilay niya, tapos Joseph, tapos parang kinakawayan siya, inaakit talaga siya, di ba? But guess what happened there? When he was being tempted by this Mrs. Potiphar, what he did was he ran away. Tinakbuhan niya. Hindi niya sinabing tukso, layuan mo. Kasi sabi niya, tukso, lalayuan kita. Tatakbuhan kita. He ran away. That's a picture of cutting it off. The question now is, what is cutting off for you? What are the things that you need to cut off? And how would it look like if you cut it off? Maybe you're feeling, Pastor, lagi kasi ako natitempt. You know what? I understand. Kasi luma na yung scheme ng enemy. Lagi naman tayo tinatempt ng demonyo eh. The Bible says, in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Sabihin, ano yan? Gas-gas na yan, lumang tugtugin na yan para sa demonyo. Pero gumagana pa rin sa atin. Minsan, we don't get accountability, we don't ask for help from other people because we're feeling nakakahiya naman. Kasi ako lang yung natetempt. Ako lang yung may struggle sa lust. Ako lang yung nahihirapan dito. But guess what? The Bible saying, it is common to man. Akala mo lang, ikaw lang. And that's the lie of the enemy. The reality is, everyone struggles. But not everyone gives into it. Kaya kailangan mo na accountability. Kaya kailangan mo mag-ask ng help. Okay? Adultery begins with lust. And then, why is it in the heart? Okay, because adultery and lust are issues of passion. Passion po ang pinag-uusapan natin. I have these two guys here. Diba? Sino sa inyo mga Golden State? Ayan, condolence po sa inyo. Okay, so sa atin, kasi kasama ako, and for the Cavs. But these two, if you would probably given a chance and you would ask these two if they are taking drugs, if they're doing vices, I'm confident to say to you that they won't. They would say to you that they are not taking those things. You know why? Because those things would get in the way of their passion. Those things can take basketball away from them. Those things would stop them from being able to give their best in playing basketball. What do you call that? It's passion. It's the sheer desire to be able to become the best and even be able to give what is best to what they like. You see, when you talk about adultery, people who are falling to adultery and lust has an issue of passion with God. Because if you're passionate with God, you would see that sin is not worth it. If we are passionate with God, we would see that lust is not worth it. We would not waste our time, we would not waste our energy giving into it. Why? Because if there's anything that is worth it, that is God. Most people, most book would say na, tayo mga Kristiyano, tayo mga followers of God, we should aim for purity and holiness. I agree with that. But I do believe purity and holiness is not meant to be the goal. The goal is to become passionate with God, to become so in love with God in such a way that there's no room for anything else, any sin or anything that would take us away. And you know what? When we are so passionate with God, purity and holiness will just follow. It would become a natural manifestation, a natural result in our lives. Church, let's be after the passion and the love that we have for God. No wonder the Bible says in the Ten Commandments that we are not to commit adultery, because adultery is a serious thing and it starts with lust. You see, when God wrote this, what I believe God is trying to say. God is saying, my son, my daughter, you deserve the best and I want to give you the best. My son, my daughter, you deserve the greatest love life that you could ever have. Whether you're already in marriage or you're going to be married in the future, God wants you to have that. And God is saying, you know what? More than that, I want you to avoid adultery, because what I want to have with you is an intimate relationship. I want you to get to know me more. I want you to be more in love with me more. I want you to realize how much love I have for you. That's why God is saying, do not commit adultery, because it's taking you away from me. You know what? And all these things, God doesn't want us getting hurt. We are sons and daughters. We have to see that we are sons and daughters of God. And wala pong tatay, walang nanay, nagugustuhin niya na sana masaktan yung anak ko, sana paglaki niya, maaksidente siya. Wala pong ganun. God would always want the best for us. That's why God is saying, do not commit adultery. And you know what? And the reality is, when someone commits adultery, it's not only that person that gets hurt. That person gets hurt. The person he is involved with gets hurt. The families of those two gets hurt. And you know what? Who is hurt the most? God. God is hurt the most because he loves his people so much. In fact, he treats the church like a bride. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. God so loved the church, God so loved his people, that he allowed Christ to die on the cross, to become the groom to his very people. Kano'n niya kamahal? And this is the love that we need to understand. Because I want to speak to you honestly, if you will just be able to understand this love that God has for us, hahanap-hanapin mo to. Ito yung babalik-balikan mo. Ito yung hindi mo iwan. Ito yung hindi mo pagpapalit. This would compel you to go back to God, even if you've sinned, even if you feel like you're far away from God, even if you feel like you're not deserving, you would go back to God because this love is so real. This is the love that is so faithful to us that in spite of our shortcomings, we would still be accepted if you would just repent of it. This is the love that God is offering you. This is the love that God has for us. And there was a woman in the Bible who experienced it firsthand. As I read this, I want to call on the keyboardist. The Bible says here, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, pertaining to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses," talking about the Ten Commandments, "it was commanded to us to stone such women. So what then do you say?" See, I want you to picture this. There was a woman caught in adultery. Caught, imagine you caught. Sabihin, wala nang ano, hindi niya na mapagkakaila, huling-huli ka sa akto. And they brought it to Jesus because they were trying to test him. "God, how would you handle this? Would you allow us to stone this woman? Would you allow this woman to be punished by us because of the law of Moses, because of the law of God?" What happened next year is, Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground using his finger. Nagsulat. And then he said, "Whoever who has no sin, cast the first stone to this woman." Stone her. Be the first one. Do the honor. As he continually writes on the ground. Shortly after, one by one, they started leaving. The older ones first, hanggang sa pinakabata. And then, after a while, he asked the woman, "Has anyone condemned you?" And he said, what happened next? In verse 11 says there, she said, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, from now on, sin no more." God said, "Neither do I condemn you. Sin no more." I want you to know that God brought you here not by accident. God brought you here not just to condemn you, pamukha sa'yo na, grabe ka, ang dami mong kasalanan. Grabe ka, adulterous ka. God did not just brought you here just to make you realize, grabe yung last mo. You're always giving into it. You're always sinning before me. You're always hurting me. God did not brought us here just to make us realize that. God is saying here, "I'm not here to condemn you. Neither do I condemn you." But at the same time, he said, "Sin no more. Sin no more." The acceptance, the freedom, the forgiveness came first to that woman. And then it gave her the motivation to sin no more. I believe God brought you here because God wants to tell you, "My son, my daughter, I'm not condemning you. In fact, I know there are sins that you have done, but I brought you here so that you can finally receive forgiveness and start a new life. A life of no sin, a life that is honoring before me." This is the word of the Lord. And I want to leave you this thought. Yes, we may be struggling, but we can find victory in God. Because God's faithfulness allows us to be faithful to God, to our spouse, to our future spouse, starting today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the grace and the love, God, that you always give us every day. Thank you, God, for we know that there are countless times, God, that we have done things that are hurtful before you. We gave in to lust. We did things that are shameful before you and even to people. For some of us, God, we got involved even to adultery. But Lord, thank you. For just like how that woman encountered you, we are encountering in the same way. A God who loves us, a God who accepts us, a God who does not condemn us. Thank you, Lord, for that love and acceptance. But today, Lord, help us, God. Help us be right with you once more. Help us, Lord God, just like woman, to sin no more. To live a new life, God, that would honor you. To live a life, God, that would be pleasing to you in every way, Lord. Lord, help us today.